happy song this morning, one reason, many reasons, but that was one reason this morning, right?
Yep.
That is a good song for our service this morning. As we look at our message today, I entitled it Casting the Vision. As we started a new year, we need to cast a vision for this year. And as you read in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New, there are many visions that were that are mentioned and that took place. Visions by the prophets sent from God, and they pursued those, and they happened. And when we cast a vision, and God will work in that vision, and He will make it happen as we pray and trust Him. So we don't always know what the whole year is in front of us will bring or what will happen. But when we put it in His hands and ministries that He provides in our churches and our lives, when He's in them, they happen. And so that's what we're going to focus on this morning. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to, first of all, Joshua chapter 13, starting with verse 25. Does that say 30?
Yep. Joshua.
That's Joshua.
Numbers.
Joshua 8. It should be Joshua.
Okay.
Joshua 13. I'm sorry. It should be chapter 8. Yes. All right. Chapter 8. Which says, then it will be when you have seized the city, that you shall set the city on fire. You shall do it according to the word of the Lord. See, I have commanded you. So Joshua, he went. I'm sorry. Should be verse 25, right? I've got some many scriptures up here. I'm trying to keep track. So we need to 30 through 35. Now we're on track. 8:35. 30 through 35. Then Joshua built an altar. That's it. To the Lord, the God of Israel, in Mount Ebal. Just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones, on which no man shall wield an iron tool. And they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, and the sacrifice peace offerings. He wrote there on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written in the presence of the sons of Israel. All Israel, with elders and officers, and their judges were standing on both sides of the ark before the Levitical priest who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as the native. Half of them stood in the mount, in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in the Mount of Ebal. Just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given command at first to bless the people of Israel. Then afterwards he read all of the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read, but all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. I had it right here. Scripture, I didn't say it right when I read the scripture. So now, looking at casting a vision for year 2024, the Old Testament is a good example of the visions, of the prophecies, the revelations that were given by God. And here we see one of them. It was revealed to Moses. He was given the law. It was carried on through Joshua and Caleb and all of those as they went into the land of Canaan, which was given to them. God said, it's yours. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And that's a vision that God placed in their heart and their minds to pursue and carry out. And it was done. So the book of Joshua is about the Israelites doing battle to possess the land of Canaan. By the point in the book of Joshua had already initiated the progress of claiming the promised land and establishing the new territory that the Lord had given them. Now, we actually apply what we learned from the book of Joshua to claiming what I would call spiritual territory. And that's what God was providing in this vision. Not only the physical things in life, but the spiritual things that he wanted them to see, that they would worship him, worship the God Almighty, because he was providing for them as he does for us. Spiritual territory in our lives, and we are to claim it. When he gives it to us, gives us a vision, he gave them a vision, he told them to pursue it. Of course, not everyone was on board. Some of them doubted, but thank goodness Joshua and Caleb, they pursued it. And they believed God would fulfill their promise. So, this is the spiritual territory as we set out to lead people to faith in Christ. As we continue, leading Bible studies here at the Salem Baptist Church, our Sunday school classes, as well as to grow in spiritual knowledge of the Word of God. That's what we want to do. Now, as we learn, or as we lead others to Christ, to stake their spiritual claim in life. We have staked our spiritual claim. We want to lead others to do the same. And we must be aware that the toe can be a toll on many who share this vision and as we serve one another and serve our community. Therefore, we must continually cast the vision of the promised land to strengthen and motivate one another to keep pressing on. You never stop. We always press on. And there's a good scripture here that I found in Proverbs 29:18 that really emphasizes and gives us affirmation. When Proverbs 29:18 says, when people do not accept divine guidance, and this is the New Living Translation, they run wild. Kind of like Ishmael. Ishmael, his name means renegade. He runs wild. Out of control, okay? That's what happened. We don't accept divine guidance. We're running on our own. We're running wild. Yep. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. That's good, right?
Yep.
That's good. That means we can be joyful, and God is joyful in us and through us when we accept his guidance.
That's right.
Now, Vision established a restraint and perimeters which God's people will move forward. That's what we always want to do in a vision. When God gives you a vision, you know, he give each one of us a vision. He's given me visions. And in my life, I've always tried to pursue those according to his will and his purpose. Do they happen automatically? No, they don't. But you don't give up. They're not deleted. You just keep pursuing. You just keep waiting until they happen. So, a clear vision provides a compelling picture of the future. God enables to say, we know our destination. Okay? When we cast a vision, we know our destination. We know that God is going to be in it. He's going to move us to it. And nothing will lure us off that path from here to there. And we can say to ourselves, we can say as a church, we will not be what? Distracted from that. When God puts us on a path in the direction, we stay on it until it's completed. Now, let's move on to the time of worship and devotion. This was something, as was mentioned here, that they built an altar. And every time an altar was built, it was for a reason. It was for a worship time. It was for to get direction. It was a vision that God had implanted in their lives and in their minds that they were to pursue it. And it began by stopping where they were, where we are, and we worship the Lord God Almighty, praising Him and thanking Him for giving us a vision to move forward with. So a vision can only be communicated after having received it. We have to receive it before it, and then after it's, only when it's communicated, we can receive it and go forward with it. So there's two important things to understand about receiving a vision from the Lord. And first of all, I want us to look at it this way. We receive a vision in response to our worship. So when we worship God, when we're into the Word, and we're seeking His guidance, just as Joshua and Caleb and as Moses, as he led them through this pathway to the point of where they built this altar, they worshiped God. And then He gave them that vision. See, when we worship God, we're in close connection with Him. We're in that relationship with God that He gives us a direction. And if we're not worshiping or we're not praying, then we're kind of at a standstill in our life. But when we're moving forward and praying and worshiping God, that's when He interacts with us. And then that's where He gives us a purpose in life, a vision to move forward to add to His kingdom. So the first thing is to receive a vision is a response to our worship. See, Israel offered a burnt offering to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. That's what they did upon the altar of stone. And that's in verse 31, we just read a while ago. Indicating that the people were immersed in the worship of God. They were immersed. They were focused on God and what God wanted them to do. He wanted them to go in and claim the land that He had promised. A land that was going to provide everything that they needed in life. But they had to move forward. They couldn't wait to say, okay, we'll wait till the enemy leaves and so forth. And we don't want the battles and the hardships that takes place. God promised them and they received it because they moved forward in their vision. So while the people worshiped the Lord at the same time shared with Joshua the law of Moses, which He recorded on the stone, on the tablets. Of course, He received those twice, didn't He? He had to break them once because, well, he did break them once because of the disobedience he was so upset Moses. Then God wrote another stone, a tablet of law, and gave it to them. And this is what Joshua is referring to here. The law served as a guiding principle by which to live. Therefore, the law was a vision of the nation of Israel. That was their law. That was their guidance. That was their protection in life. And for you and me, it's the Bible. We have the Bible. That gives us purpose. This gives us a vision. And as we read the Bible and as we see it, the Bible is a vision for us to pattern our life, to live our life accordingly. And the second thing to understand about receiving a vision is a vision will manifest itself in God's timing. In God's timing. Not our timing. You know, we might receive it, and hopefully each and every one of us will. And we can share that with one another. We can share with the church. And we can move in with God's timing. Now, Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, I like this. Habakkuk, he tells us about God's visions and how God worked in his generation. And he said, I will stand on the guard post and to station myself on the rampart. And I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me. He's talking about the Lord God Almighty. And how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. And then verse 3. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. See, God was in control of this. He said, okay, I'm preparing you for this vision. And Habakkuk, he said, you know, I'm waiting. And on an appointed time, and when it comes, we'll run. We'll run with it. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. You understand what Habakkuk is saying right here? Sometimes we cast a vision and we talk about it and so forth, and sometimes it don't happen that day or the next week. Sometimes it's maybe 6 months or a year. We've seen that happen. Well, that's what Habakkuk is talking about right here in this passage of Scripture. So we learn from Habakkuk that the Lord will reveal his plans, and sometimes just slowly. That we must watch and we must wait. That's what Habakkuk is saying right here in verse 1. We got to watch, we got to wait. And once we receive the vision, then we must make it visible so that it may be seen by everyone. We share it. And that's what we've done in the past. We've shared the vision. We've shared the things that God has laid upon our heart for the ministries here at Forsyth Baptist Church. And all the other things that you've been involved in past years. That's how Forsyth Baptist Church was established. There was a vision. And those who were before us saw that vision. They talked about it. They prayed about it. They read the Word of God and moved in that direction. It didn't come just rapidly, but in a process of waiting and watching it happen. So once we receive a vision, then we must make it visible to everyone. So it should be on the highway signs. It is so clear that even a passing runner will see it. We talk about it. Take note, and we mark it. And we remember for the future reference, according to verse 2. So if the vision is not fulfilled immediately, then keep in mind that it is only delayed, but not denied. believe. The Lord says, wait for it, and I will come, it will come to pass in the perfect timing. You know, in Colossians, Paul talks about in the right time, in due time, God sent his Son into the world. You hear what it said? Just exactly what Habakkuk is saying when it comes to vision. That was a vision that Paul was talking about that came to be. In the right time, God sent his Son. So that's the vision, that's the prophecy, that's the revelation that's been inspired over the years. Now, let's look at the blessing the Lord people. Blessing the Lord's people. Joshua 8:33, which says, all of Israel with the elders and officers and their judges were standing on both sides of the ark before the Levitical priest who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the strangers as well as the native. Half of them stood in the front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in the front of Mount Elbor, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given command at the first to bless the people of Israel. Now, I want us to notice something right here. How all the people had gathered before Joshua and the priest in order to receive the blessing. They gathered. They heard about it. So they wanted to be there. They didn't want to miss it. As earlier as Moses had commanded. See, Moses had commanded this. And they listened because they believed. So once we receive a vision from God, we must then encourage one another. We must say that to one another. We must share it with one another. That it can be attained. God will make it happen. So, let's not forget Caleb, who declared, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overtake it. When he was looking, they were looking in the land of Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and honey. Many of the spies, the 12 spies went in, said, no. Those guys, those are giants. We can't take that. They were doubting God. But praise God, Joshua and Caleb says, God says we can and we will. You see, that's a vision right there. They claimed the vision that God laid upon their heart, and he laid it on their hearts through the law of Moses. The law that Moses had given them that was printed on stone by God. They claimed it. They claimed it. So we must be encouraged to go for the goal. To lay hold of the promised land ourselves. This is the best when it's accomplished, it's a blessing. Now, first of all, we must be able to communicate the blessing and the benefits that will be gained at the end of what I would say a conquest. When the journey is finally completed, we rejoice. See, the benefits bestowed on our congregation as a whole, that's the blessing. That's the benefit as we share it with one another. So, you know, you and I, we have to emphasize the blessings of the land. Canaan was a good and large land flowing with milk and honey. If you want to read about that, Exodus chapter 3 and Joshua chapter 5, it's all explained there. It was given to them by God. Full of abundance. Everything. This is like, I was thinking about it as I was reading this passage of scripture from Exodus and Joshua. All of these is like when Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. Everything they needed. Every supply, all the food, everything they ever needed in life was there. See, God always provides the best, doesn't he? All we have to do is just claim it, believe it, and believe that he's in control of all things. So, when we're thinking about the concept of vision, the thought shall be what the vision can do for us. We think about that as a whole. What can this vision do for us? What can it do for the ministries of for sales managers? What can it do for the ministries of our community and the outreaches and the boundaries in which our God has given us? How will it change the quality of our lives? And how will it change the quality of other people's lives? Also, the thought should be the vision must promise a blessing that will both individually, you and I, and collectively over our communities, or even our nation. But the end result, the end goal must be continually communicated. This is something we must do. We must communicate what God lays upon each and every one of our hearts. See, he works individually. God is personal God. Aren't you thankful?
Amen.
Yeah, I'm thankful that he is personal. I mean, he don't have to tell me to go tell you what's on his mind for you. He tells you directly. Yes. And when he gives us something personal, and we find it as we pray, we find it as we read God's word, and as we build our relationship with him, he gives us a vision. All right, this is for you to share with others in your community, in your church, in your family. This is what I want for you. This is the blessing and the benefits of trusting in me and moving forward. And see, that's how we're blessed. That's how we know that God is working in us individually or corporate as well. The second thing, the aspect of this blessing is when imparted a personal blessing from the Lord, the evangelist Bill Weiss says, blessing settles identity and destiny. It frees us to flourish and do well. I know Bill Weiss personally. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Bill Weiss. Okay. None of you. I'm surprised. He was an evangelist. He was an NFL football player back in the 60s. And I got to meet him personally. I got to shake his hand and listen to him speak to East Athens Baptist Church youth group. He was out, I don't know who invited him to come to our church, but he spoke on a Sunday morning, and then that evening we met with him. And he shared about his life, how God changed his life. And he became played football for Baylor 4 years, and then went on to the NFL, played for Buffalo Bills, and then ended up with Cleveland Browns, ended his career for 7 years. And at that point, he moved from there and went into full-time evangelism. And prison was one of his goals of meeting inmates and witnessing. And I don't know how many countless inmates that he led to the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave him that vision when he was playing football, professional football. And when his career ended in football, he pursued that. He died January the 5th, 2021. He was 86 years old, but the things that he'll accomplish, and the things I remember him saying back then in 60, that was in 63, that I met him saying, talking about the blessing settles identity and destiny, and it frees us to flourish and do well when we follow his vision. He was telling us, have a vision. God will lay on your heart a vision. And when he does, don't let it lay. You talk about it. You communicate it. And it will happen. And it happened for him. It can happen for anyone who will carry out and communicate it with others. So when we see a special blessing, when you and I cast a vision, when we cast that vision, it helps us see the potential and even our responsibilities. And when we add to that vision, our faith moves us into action. That's how it works. So as we look in conclusion this morning, the scriptures we have studied this morning, just this morning, this is part one of this particular casting the vision. It gives us a sense of a new direction. And maybe it describes one of us here today. And preferably even our church, this message. So if so, you know, thinking individually, thinking corporately as we meet this morning, we need to petition the Lord for a fresh vision. Or maybe clarified vision that has come, or maybe it's being clouded over the years or months. Maybe trials or disappointments has arrived. But see, we keep that vision open and clear and communicated. We must go before the Lord in worship. And a good scripture to end with this morning is Psalms 37:4, where it says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord." Delight yourself in the Lord. That's what all these scriptures talk about. Joshua and Caleb, they delighted themselves. They pursued. They didn't give up. They didn't quit. So delight ourselves also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, what a blessing. If we pursue it, He'll give us the desires of our heart. He doesn't place something on our heart that's not real. It's always a way for us to move forward. Individually, or as a church, when we trust in the Lord, He gives us the desires of our heart. Let's pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. Thank you for the visions that you have given us in the past. Thank you for the present vision and future. As Habakkuk said, you know, sometimes we have to wait. And we always watch it. See how you're going to move. How you're going to speak. How you use each and every one of us to make things happen. Lord, it's always a blessing to see your Spirit move in a mighty way. And we pray for that this year, 2024. We're eager to see what you have in store for each one of us individually and for South Baptist Church as a whole. Lord, we thank you that you never give up on us, that you're always working. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're always working together. You're always working with us. May we always have our hearts and our ears and our mind clear, so we can hear you clearly. And we can hear you clearly when we pray and when we search your word. And may that be a new Year's vision. May we set that today in each and every one of our hearts to make that a priority, that we're going to be in your word even more this year. Great things can happen starting today. And when we see, when you speak to each and every one of us individually, however you choose, then we can communicate. And then we can all be blessed by the benefits that we receive together. Whatever the decisions are this day, Lord, many decisions probably are already been made, starting January the 1st. Maybe those are the ones maybe needs to be communicated and shared so we all can rejoice. It's good to hear good news. We don't always hear good news, especially from the media. But Lord, your word is the good news. And Lord, may we make it our purpose to share the good news with anyone, everyone that we meet. May that be a New Year's promise that we make to you, a commitment that we make to you. That's the good word, commitment. And Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that will motivate us to do that. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you for willingness to serve. Maybe each and every one of us can step that up as well. Give us that energy. Give us that health in order for us to maintain and carry on the ministries here at Brazil Baptist Church. Lord, new life. Give us that vision this morning. And when we receive it, let's share it, let's communicate. And then we'll see it happening and we see the results. We know that you gave it to us. And we were faithful to carry it out. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.